Father, we thank you today for your word. It is your word. You have given us your word in order to instruct us. You have given us your word to reveal us to us about yourself. And you have given us your word, Lord, that we might know what the truth and what the reality is, and that we might live our lives each day according to that truth. We thank you for the Psalms, for in them we learn many, many wonderful and valuable things. And we know that the Psalms are equally inspired by your Holy Spirit and are truly your word in as much measure as any other part of your word. So, Lord, today, take your word and speak to our hearts today. We are but men. We will soon perish from this life and pass away. But in the meantime, strengthened and girded by your word, we can live in a way that will please you, and we can also experience the joy of your presence. We thank you, Lord, and we give you glory. In Christ's name we pray. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. As you know, we've been going through various Psalms on different Sundays, and I'll probably continue this through the summer. But it's been a blessing to me, and I hope some of this has been a blessing to you. We're not going to get into the word list. I simply do that as something that I think helps us to identify what the subject matter of a passage is. If you know what the vocabulary is, if you know what the main words and phrases are and how many times they're used, then you begin to get some idea of what the subject matter is. So that's just there. And of course, these are based on the NIV version. But it's an important psalm, and it is one, it says, it says at the beginning there, of David. So this psalm is attributed to David, and it is different than the majority of David's psalms in two respects. One is that we know from the text itself that this psalm he wrote in his old age. We don't have any other psalm that we can say for sure that he wrote it after he was an old man. And of course, we know that David had been writing psalms probably ever since he was in his teens. And so now he's getting closer to the end of his life, and he's beginning to look back. And if you're my age or a little older, we get to the point where we have a lot to look back on, don't we? And sometimes being able to look back helps us to put some things into perspective, and we don't exactly feel exactly the same way about things sometimes after we get older as we did when we were younger. The things that used to just worry us to no end and upset us to no end, now as we look back and we're able to put them into some perspective, they don't bother us nearly as much. So it seems pretty obvious from the text here. He's instructing us on what to do. And I have to think that he is speaking words here that are based in his own experience. And of course, David, as you know, had been treated unfairly by some people very close to him for some extended periods of time. David was a man who really, really suffered unjustly at the hands of others in his younger years. So he no doubt felt many of these things, and so he's able to speak about them with authority. But he does so under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and in the process, he helps us to deal with something. And I won't necessarily ask for a show of hands, but I just have a feeling that this is as old as Job, and I'll be reading a little bit from the book of Job. Many believe Job is the oldest book in the Bible, written even before Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus. But even that far back, men struggled with the fact, why is it that these evil, wicked people, nothing bad ever happens to them? How come they're able to call the shots, get by with everything, and don't seem to ever be called to account for their actions? Maybe I will ask for some hands. Anybody besides me ever felt that way? So in addressing this, he's getting down where we live, because I believe that most of us, even as believers, we love the Lord and we trust His sovereignty and His goodness, but sometimes it just starts getting to us. Sometimes we just wonder, you know, is there any fairness or not? And so it was just for such issues that David writes this psalm, and I'm glad that he did. So David gives us some don'ts, and we'll address those first, and then he gives us some do's, and I'm glad to report to you that the do's outnumber the don'ts. But if we don't follow the don'ts, we've got to get those out of the way first, because if we don't, we're not going to be able to do the do's. Does that make sense? So let's look real quick. Number one, if you're one of those, again, who fills in the blanks. Number one, he says, number one, don't fret because of evil men. Don't fret because of evil men. Don't get all upset and fret about it and fume about it. But we do, because we have this sense of justice. And especially if it's closer to home and we see people we love and know being mistreated and treated unfairly, and it seems like their persecutors are getting by with it, or if we've suffered unjustly at someone's hands, or we just see how so many abuse their power and their position and their wealth, after a while, even as believers, it begins to wear on us, and we find ourselves getting agitated and getting worked up about it. And of course, there's an awful lot of that in the world, and always has been, and maybe more right now than there has been in modern times. And of course, we now have the luxury of knowing about it all on the news networks as soon as it happens. So there is plenty to get us upset these days, if indeed, allow it to begin getting to us. But he says, don't fret because of evil men. Don't fret. Number two, don't be envious of those who do wrong. Now, we're going to come back to that one in a minute. Don't be envious of those who do wrong. Number three, don't fret when men succeed in their ways, when it just seems like they're getting by with things. Don't fret. In fact, three out of four of these are don't fret. And fourth, don't fret when men carry out their wicked schemes. Don't fret. Now, why is it so important that we not fret? Because when we begin to fret, it has a way of building on itself. It has a way of becoming the lens through which we view everything. It distorts our thoughts. It keeps us from being able to see things clearly. And furthermore, it achieves nothing. It achieves nothing except us getting upset and us getting our attitude trashed. But it doesn't change a thing, because in most of these cases, there's not a thing we can do about it. Now, I believe that if there's an injustice going on and there is a legal way through the courts or this or that or through your vote or whatever in order to make a difference and change the situation, that it is our obligation to do those things. But many times, these are things that are going on far out of our reach. But we hear about them or we see them, either in our own circle of association or just on the news or whatever, and we begin to fret about it. And so we begin to gripe and we begin to complain. Why is it so important that we not fret? Because if we begin to fret, and that kind of becomes a frame of mind for us, then it is the gateway to other things. Fretting about something, staying upset about something, the next thing it can lead to is number two, interestingly enough. Don't be envious of those who do wrong. Because if we fret long enough, we may say, oh, well, if that's the way life is, I'm going to do things like he's doing them or she's doing them. And then we become just like that person. And it happens every day. If you can't beat them, join them. So, hey, if that's the way it is, I mean, what's the use of trying to do the right thing? And so pretty soon, we start cutting corners and we start doing the very things that they do. That's one thing that fretting will lead to. A second thing that it can lead to is that we begin to actually bitter resent people. And it turns into bitterness and resentment against people. Thirdly, it can lead us to the point where we want to get even and where we want to avenge ourselves of that person. It begins with fretting, but eventually it may come to the point that we actually want to avenge ourselves of them or get even with them. And on and on. So he says in summary later in the psalm, don't fret because it tends only to evil. It never leads anywhere good. And so you say, well, easier said than done. Well, maybe so. But I think the first thing we've got to do is take it to the Lord and say, Lord, these are things, they upset me, but there's not a thing I can do about them. And Lord, help me to take the things that I can't do anything about. Oh, and pray about it. Pray about it. Pray about it. Don't fret about it. Pray about it. Because praying about it may actually get something done. Because our God still hears and answers prayer. It's okay to pray about it. But if you've got a situation where you're being persecuted or treated unfairly or somebody in your family is, do the common sense things. But then beyond that, instead of fretting, pray. Pray, pray. Pray for that person. And pray for God to resolve it his way. And you will be surprised how many times the Lord intervenes in some way you had not even thought, and the problem eventually becomes fixed. And then you're glad because you didn't take matters into your own hands. And you're glad because you didn't allow your own thoughts. Oh, by the way, another thing that fretting can lead us to is distrusting God's goodness and God's sovereignty. And that is very, very serious. We can get to the point where we say, well, Lord, I don't know. You know, it just seems to me like you don't really love me anymore because this is happening and you're not hearing me. Or, Lord, this is happening and you're not doing anything about it. And it can actually lead us. We haven't actually forsaken the Lord or denied our salvation, but it comes between us and the Lord. So believe me, as they say today, don't go there. Because it's not going to lead to anything good. James says many, many years later in his book, the wrath of man, or the anger of man, does not work the righteousness of God. And that still holds true today. And that's the principle that's being set forth here. So, don't fret because of evil men. In that regard, there's plenty to fret about. Don't be envious of those who do wrong. Don't fret. Don't want to copy them. Don't fret when men succeed in their evil ways. Don't fret when men carry out their wicked schemes. Now, here's the do's. These are the ones that we want to concentrate on. Number one, do trust in the Lord. And do good. And I put them together, they're in the same sentence together, and so they go together. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. That's something positive. Is trusting a positive thing? Yes. Trusting is not a passive thing. Trusting is an active thing. And if you've practiced this for any amount of time, you know it is. It's an active thing. Trusting is something you have to do moment by moment every day. Some people say, well, I trusted Christ as Savior 25 years ago. That's fine. Are you trusting Him right now for what you're going through right now, including these bad and sticky situations that you don't understand and that you can't do anything about? Are you trusting Him? That is the number one thing He wants from us. He wants us to trust Him. Let me ask you this morning, is He trustworthy? He is 100% trustworthy. If he isn't, he isn't God. But if he is, he is. Because that's one of the most first characteristics of God. He is trustworthy and faithful. Faithful and true. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. And so to trust him. And the word of the Lord will help you to do that. Going to Psalms like this one right here will help you to do that. And going to other parts of the Word of God will help you to do that. Trust in the Lord and do good. And do good. Do the right thing. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing wrong. You can't change it anyway. How many of you have heard that? You can't change what other people do, what they think, or what they feel. But you can change what you do. You're the only one. So trust in the Lord and do good. Number two, delight yourself in the Lord. Oh, I think I heard Bennett say, how can we enjoy the Lord? Delight yourself in the Lord. What do you delight in? We all delight in different things. How do I know when people delight in something? Because when they start talking about it, they just light up. We were sitting at a table yesterday evening, and some of us were talking about, I don't know, certain sports and certain things we like. And the ones that were talking just got animated, and they just lit up. That's how I know if somebody delights in something. Delight yourself in the Lord. So don't just love him and serve him and trust him. Delight in him. Do you delight in your children? I hope so. We have a lot of parents today who don't. And then we hear those reports about little children being abused, physically abused by their parents. And it's sad. But we should be delighting in our children. And hopefully our children in us. And the Lord wants us to delight in him. Delight yourself in Jehovah. Delight yourself in the Lord. And I tell you what, when you're delighting yourself in the Lord, it's hard to be upset or depressed or fret or anything else. Because we're delighting in the Lord. He wants us to enjoy him and enjoy our relationship with him. Number three, commit your way to the Lord. See, your way is your pathway, your direction. What are we supposed to do with it? Commit it to the Lord. David's son Solomon later in the Proverbs would say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Commit, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. So commit your way to the Lord. Commit it. What does it mean to commit something? It means to give it totally over to their care and protection and direction and all that. Commit it to the Lord. So, Lord, my way is in your hands. I'm not going to try to fix this on my own. I'm going to let you lead me, guide me, and direct me. And probably most of you here, if you've been serving the Lord any time, you can think of times when you did commit something to the Lord, and then the Lord directed you. And then you can probably think of some times when you took it into your own hands, and it didn't turn out so well. So, in these situations, trust in the Lord and do good. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. And if we do those three things, we are well on our way to living successfully, even in a world filled with injustice, filled with wickedness, and yes, a world where a lot of people get by with an awful lot. But you're not going to be able to fix that. So let's just concentrate on what the Lord tells us to do. Here's a few more. Four, trust the Lord to vindicate your cause. And that's where sometimes we start running into a little bit of trouble. Well, Lord, it seems like you're just not, you know, this is still going on. Trust the Lord to vindicate your cause. If you trust him, commit your way to him, delight in him, the Lord doesn't always act as fast as we want him to. Have you noticed that? But then our own real parents didn't always react quite as quick as we wanted them to either, did they? Was it because they didn't care? Was it because they didn't love us? Or was it because they were older and they knew that maybe we weren't quite ready yet, or there were a couple more lessons we needed to learn or something? But trust Him to vindicate your cause. Let Him. It says, don't avenge yourself. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So trust Him to take care of it. Number five, be still before the Lord. Oh, that's one we don't do much. When was the last time you were still? Just still before the Lord. You know why it's important to get still? Because until we do, we can't think real clear. There is so much chatter. I was out on the road yesterday. I had to go monitor Merrimack because the other tunnel was backed up 5 1/4 miles. And it seemed like almost every car that I looked at, somebody was there doing this while they were driving. People can't even stay off their phones when they're driving a car. There is so much chatter now. And then you get home and you flip on the TV or you do the video game or you... Somehow we're just engaged all the time and we never get... No wonder we're so stressed out. Everybody's got to get still once in a while. And when it comes to thinking about life and meditating on some of the things about the Lord and just sorting things out. We can't even think clearly. Just to sort things out, sometimes we got to get quiet for a while. So I would encourage you. You may say, well, you don't know my life. That's impossible in my situation. I realize it can be challenging, but we really do. But more than just sitting still in a chair or whatever, but get still in your attitude before the Lord. Let the agitation go. Get still before the Lord. And that's when some insights will begin to come. And that's when you'll begin to hear the Lord putting some thoughts in your head about what needs to be done. But until you get still, it won't happen. So that's a real important one. Be still before the Lord. Now, here's a real challenge. I think this one can only be done by His grace. Wait patiently for the Lord. Oh, my. If we could do that, 90% of our agitation would be gone right away. But to wait, we don't want to wait. We want it now. Wait patiently for the Lord. By the way, wait is also not a passive thing. Because in the Bible, waiting means waiting in a state of expectation to see what the Lord is going to do. It always means that in the Scripture. So even as I'm waiting, I'm actively expecting. Number 7, refrain from anger. And number 8, turn from wrath. So it's stated twice in a slightly different way for emphasis. Refrain from anger, turn from wrath, get rid of the anger. Why? Because as long as I'm in that state, I can't think clearly. As long as I'm in that state, I can't trust the Lord the way I should. And there's a whole lot of other things I can't do while that anger is kind of at the top and in control. Number 9, turn from evil and do good. Turn from evil. Today, everybody wants to be like everybody else. And I don't know why it is. We feel like, well, if they're doing it, then it must be okay. Since when? So we have the Word of God. We know more or less what's right or wrong. And the closer we stay to the Word of God... But if you have to choose between being like everybody else or doing it God's way and being laughed at, which one is better? Well, who do you have to answer to? If you do the wrong thing and then you're judged for it, are they going to stand good for you? I don't think so. Number 10, wait for the Lord and keep His way. Settle that early. Daniel and his friends settled that issue very, very early. We live in a pagan society, but we're going to keep the way of the Lord. And if along the way that means we are thrown in a fiery furnace or in a lion's den or something, that's fine. But we're going to keep the way of the Lord. Number 11 and 12. Consider the blameless and observe the upright. Consider the blameless and observe the upright. Get yourself some good, positive role models to look at. Instead of looking at all these people that are doing wrong, and it seems like they only get richer for it. And nothing bad ever happens to them. Consider them. And thank God, and it's often referred to, but we've had a lot of wonderful role models in this church over the years. Amen. Roy's like, amen, because that's one of his, what is it? That's one of three strings on your banjo, I think. Something like that. But it's true. And there are a lot of good ones right here today. And that'll help us to keep things in balance, and it'll help us to keep things in perspective. Because everybody, even though it may seem like it sometimes, everybody isn't doing wrong. And there are still a few godly people left that are doing the right thing and are willing to pay the price. So consider them and make them your example. But yeah, it's an old question. Job said, why do the wicked live on, growing old and increasing in power? They see their children established around them, their offspring before their eyes. Their homes are safe and free from fear. The rod of God is not upon them. Their bulls never fail to breed. Their cows calve and do not miscarry. They send forth their children as a flock. Their little ones dance about. They sing to the music of tambourine and harp, and they make merry to the sound of the flute. They spend their years in prosperity and go down to the grave in peace. This is Job. He's there covered in boils. He's scraping himself with a piece of pottery, and he's lost everything he ever had. And it looks like evil has triumphed. And so we do. We kind of lose our perspective. But folks, let me read you two lists and we're closing. These are straight out of this psalm. These are bullets I did straight out of this psalm. And if you want to see them, go to sncccc.net, because that's where my expanded notes are. Here's what will happen to the wicked according to Psalm 37. They will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Evil men will be cut off. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. The Lord laughs at the wicked, for He knows their day is coming. Their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. The power of the wicked will be broken. The wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the fields. They will vanish, vanish like smoke. Those the Lord curses will be cut off. All sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked, meaning their posterity, will be cut off. My dear friends, let's put something in perspective today. How eternal is God? How long has He been in charge? And how long into the future will He be in charge? See, we're thinking about this moment. We're thinking about what we see and hear and feel this very moment. And it totally absorbs us and overwhelms us and encompasses us. But God is sitting in heaven and He knows the end. And I'm going to make a statement here this morning. And it is this: God isn't all that concerned about the wicked, because He knows where their end is going to be. And they're not going to be around during the millennium. They're not going to be around in that time of eternity when we're celebrating with the Lord in heaven. They're going to be gone. They're enjoying it now. They're living it up now. Let them have some fun, because it says right here, God knows that their day is coming. He isn't upset about it at all, because He knows they won't be around much longer. Where is Hitler? Where is Stalin? Where is Mussolini? Where is Idi Amin? Where will Kim Jong-il soon be? And they won't be on the scene, and they won't be a factor. And the only thing that will endure is what we're doing for the Lord today, right now. It isn't all this temporal stuff that's going to matter. But God has a people, and He has selected us for eternity. Can I hear a hallelujah somewhere? He has. He didn't just save you today so you could feel good about yourself and be in church once in a while. He has saved us for eternity. We are the program of the future. Those who have been bought and washed and redeemed by the blood of Jesus. So looking at it long term gives us a totally different way of looking at it. And it may be easy to think that about Stalin and Hitler and people that are well known but at a distance that we didn't know. When it gets close to home, it's our own boss, it's down at work, it's somebody in our own family, then it begins to get more personal. But let me tell you, do the right thing, trust in the Lord, follow the Lord, because there's a reward at the end. Hallelujah. And whatever they think they may be getting by with today, and maybe they are for today, but at the end of it, there's a trap door, and it goes straight down. And you never come back. The righteous will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Woo! The Lord upholds the righteous. Can't say that about the wicked. They got where they got by conning people and stepping on other people. No, the Lord upholds the righteous. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord. Yes, He knows. Yes, He notices. He sees you down here, and He looks at you proud, and He says, now that's one of my own, and that's one of my own. And do you see how they're doing the right thing? That's what He said about Job, isn't it? You say, yeah, but look what trouble that got Job into. Hey, we belong to the Lord. And in the end, did Job end well? Oh, yeah. The Lord gave him what? Double what he had before? That's good. Their inheritance will endure forever. See, we're called for eternity. The wicked aren't. In times of disaster, they will not wither. That's a good one for right now. Have you noticed how God is blessing your life in the middle of these tough economic times? You who know and serve the Lord and honor Him and give to Him. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. That's in Psalm 37. They are under the Lord's blessing, verse 22. The Lord delights in their way. Oh, He delights. The Lord delights in their way and makes their path firm. When they stumble, they will not fall, for the Lord upholds them with His hand. Have you ever stumbled before? Yeah. But did you take a fall that wiped you out? No, because the Lord's in your life. He's not going to let you fall that way. The righteous are never forsaken, and their children are never reduced to begging. Their children will be blessed. That's a good one for you parents. pray over your children and bless them. The Lord will not forsake them, and they will always be protected. Their feet do not slip because they honor and practice God's word. The Lord will not abandon them to the power of the wicked. The Lord will defend their cause in court. He will not let them be wrongly convicted. And the Lord will exalt them in the land. Are we done? Not quite. There's more. They will live to see the wicked cut off. They have a good future in store. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. Where did it come from? The Lord. The Lord is their stronghold in time of trouble. Who's your stronghold in time of trouble? The Lord. The Lord helps them and delivers them. Who helps you and delivers you? The Lord. And they have made the Lord their refuge. Who have you made your refuge? The Lord. And if you can say those things, you don't have to fret about the wicked. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today. And walking with you is the greatest privilege that we have. Lord, I think sometimes today, even with all that's going on, you've still allowed us to be born in the freest and most prosperous land in the history of the world. And yet we fret and we fret and I don't know. Lord, free us from fretting. Free us from being envious of those that we see doing wrong and somehow we think they're getting by with it. And help us to stop looking at things just in the context of today, because you've got a much, much bigger plan. But thank you that right now today, you take delight in us. Right now today, you uphold us with your hand. Right now today, your grace is there for those who trust you, who commit their way to you, and who delight in you. So Lord, we look to you for our vindication. Not to politics, not to man-made solutions. We look to you. But most of all, we just want to honor you, Lord, as we walk through this life. And we want somebody somewhere to just look and say, you know, there must be something good about serving the Lord, because look how he's blessed that person. And Lord, that we will understand that we never lose by doing good and by doing right and by staying on course with you. So help us to not get all bent out of shape over things that are happening, and help us to not be looking at others and envying them, but help us instead to be turned toward you. Give us that kind of heart, and that's what we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't know Jesus, you need to get right with him before another minute goes by. That's what these messages are about. And I don't do long, drawn-out, high-pressured invitations. But I hope you understand that that doesn't mean I don't care or that the Lord doesn't care. It matters to him whether you are really right with him or not. And he wants to bring you into that close relationship with himself. So this morning, what better day than today? While the hymn is being sung, if the Lord is touching your heart in some way, come down and let us know so we can pray with you and encourage you.